Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
I believe it. I believe that God is going to do great things this weekend. And so glad and so thankful for you to be in the house of the Lord with us tonight. I'm really going to hop right into the word tonight. I wasn't going to preach this tonight. I didn't want to preach this tonight. I told Pastor on the way here that I didn't want to preach this tonight, but that the Lord had really dealt with my heart over the last 48 hours to jump into this particular passage of Scripture tonight. And so, although there's, you know, among the 50 to 60 of us in this room tonight, I believe that the Lord has a word for one of us, if not all of us. And I think that it is a wonderful thing tonight, and I want to bring this to you tonight. And I've titled this, The Blood Still Works. Amen? The Blood Still Works. I know this week, especially in Texas and even up here in Ohio with the unfortunate things going on in our country and in Texas with the taking out. And I know there's a lot of little ears in here, so I'll be very mindful of that so you don't have to answer questions later. But of the senseless stuff going on in our country today, I know a lot of times we may throw our hands up and we may sit back and we may wonder, God, what is going on? I know that I said it even 2 days ago in Houston traffic. A man, Houston traffic is unlike any animal that you've probably ever faced in your life. And a man just got in Houston traffic, threw it in park, got out, and chose a weapon and just started going after vehicles just sitting there in traffic. This was just days after what occurred there in Dayton, Ohio, and then what occurred about 12 or 13 hours to the west of me in El Paso. And I know if we're not easy, we can just throw our hands up and say, God, what are you doing? What's happening in this world? I spoke to my church about it on Sunday as everything was still fresh, and I just reminded them that there's not a politician that's going to solve this issue. There's not a legislation that's going to solve this issue, but it is a heart issue. And as a country, we've turned from God, and we have to quickly get back to our first love. I began to read and look at the scripture here and what we're going to go to tonight in the book of Exodus. And I know what a weird book and what an awful book you might think to crank a revival on, the book of Exodus. But I wanted to take you there tonight in the book of Exodus. If you don't know exactly what was going on in this particular chapter of Exodus, and we'll be in Exodus chapter 12. You know that God's people, the children of Israel, they were there in captivity. They had been slaves for years and years and years, over 400 years. In fact, the Bible says for 430 years they lived there and they were in slavery. But God kept promising them, somebody needs to hear this, that freedom was coming. Amen. I know that some of us here, we're in our 30s, some of us in our 40s, some of us are a little more seasoned than that. If you're a seasoned saint in the house and you're over 60 years old, say amen tonight, amen. If you're under 60 years old, say amen tonight. So we got a good mixture in here. I love that. By the way, your praise team is on fire, amen. If I could bottle them up and take them in my suitcase back to Texas, I would do it. But I don't think Pastor John would let me out of here. But I'm telling you, what I want you to know is what I want you to know and understand here is that there was a promise in the making of 400 years. And I want you to stick with me for just a minute because I promise you we're going somewhere tonight. But God kept promising. God kept telling them, you're going to be free. I'm going to give you your freedom. Things are about to happen. And if you know your Bible history in the book of Exodus, 9 plagues began to come against the Egyptians, 9 of them. Still didn't change anything. They would, of course, let them go for a little bit, then change their mind, bring them back, let them go again, bring them back, let them go again, bring them back. 9 times this happened where they had a temporary freedom and then brought back. And so here we are in the book of Exodus in the 12th chapter. I want you to know something about the Egyptians. See, the Israelites were the slaves to the Egyptians. If you don't know this about the Egyptians, I want you to have a little bit of history for you. See, Egyptians did not accept death as a society. Egyptians believed that you did not die, But instead, you moved on to your next assignment in the afterlife. In fact, that's proven with the mummification process. I don't know if you've ever been to a museum before, museum of art or museum of science. Down in Houston, they have an exhibit going on right now where they have mummies in there from the Egyptian time period. And so why the Egyptians mummified people is because they believed that those spirits would come back again. And in fact, if you ever notice this about Egyptians, they mummified these people with their mouths open because they believed that the mouth was the access point for the spirit to re-enter the body. So they didn't believe in death as a permanent thing. So it's interesting that God chose death to come and to show them really who was boss, right? It's interesting that God chose death because God's wrath was about to bring the reality of death to every single home there in that area of Egypt. While we read about this on this side of Egypt and understanding what was about to happen, you have to understand what was going on the Israelite side of things. Because on the other side of town, there was each Hebrew family. And they were responsible, as we'll read in just a minute, for selecting a lamb for sacrifice. This lamb was to be male, without spot or without blemish. Now, if you fast forward and you know, most everybody here on a Friday night is probably pretty well versed in the Word of God, and you know that this lamb was a foreshadowing, right, of Jesus Christ, who would come as the sinless Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God, who would one day shed his blood, not only for one household, but for the whole world. So the Passover lamb had to be slain. And the Word of God, if you don't know this particular passage of Scripture, what they were told is, hey, you got to find this animal, you got to sacrifice this animal, you got to take this animal, put its blood in a bowl, you need to take some hyssop branches, and I want you to dip it in this bowl, and then what I want you to do is I want you to go to the doorpost of every house, and I want you to, every house that believes like we do, and I want you to just, right there on the doorpost of the house, I want you just to spray the blood. I want you to put the blood on the sides, on the top, on the doorpost. I want you to spray the blood. And the Bible goes on to say that when the death angel was to come that night, that he would skip over every house that was displaying the blood. See, a lot of times, though, we just skip over this scripture and we don't firmly grasp what was occurring and what happened here. If you know anything about the culture at the time, you know their main meal of the day, as still is in a lot of areas over there on the other side of the pond, so to speak. If you were to go to Spain, if you were to go to Europe, the main meal of the day is typically lunch. Over here, we've kind of reversed it where our main meal of the day is dinner. But if you know anything about your Bible history, or you know back in these times and when these Egyptians and the children of Israel were, what we're talking about tonight, their main meal of the day was lunch. So I want you to think about this for a minute, because the scripture said that the angel would come at nighttime. So in their preparation and so in their time eating together, I want you to understand, Blake, would you just bring me a chair, please, buddy? Thank you, man. Glad to have Blake here all the way from Ohio. Don't hold that against him, all right? So I want you to think of something for a minute. Thank you, bud, right there. Y'all just allow me to be unorthodox tonight, please. Okay? Because I wasn't even going to go here. So the Lord obviously wants something tonight. But you have to understand, okay, so they spent their day preparing and doing exactly, and we're going to read in just a minute. There was a lot of steps going into what God wanted them to do. But I want you to think as they sat down to their meal, because God had a lot of instructions for them. God had a lot of things that he, and I'll show you in just a moment, but God had a lot of things that he wanted them to do and wanted them to cover. But I can't help but imagine as they were sitting down to that meal, because God told them to sacrifice the animal. I want you not to spare any body part. Every body part needs to be cooked, not boiled, but cooked on a fire. And you need to eat every single piece. If there is some left over, then you need to make sure you carry it back out to the fire and you fully burn it and get rid of that entire animal. Leave nothing of the sacrifice remaining. Get rid of it all, okay? And so they had a lot of work that they were doing, but they had to sit down to eat at some point in time. I don't know about you guys, but it's almost football season in Texas. That's when people's car flags start coming out. They start hanging these flags on the side of their houses and on their garage. Driving up through here today, I saw a lot of Kentucky flags waving everywhere, which I know up here, really basketball season is when the flags come out, right? I saw one brave soul flying a Louisville flag, and I thought, that dude's lost. I don't know what he's doing. But it was kind of like that. When you're sitting, my next door neighbor is an Alabama fan. God help him, right? And so there's some days that I'm looking out Isaac's window into the front yard, and I'll just see that Alabama flag just waving in the wind, and I say, God, save their souls. If you can help me to help them in Jesus' name, right? Let's save some of these Alabama fans. So I want you to understand what I'm trying to make you see. As they sat down to their meal that night, Pastor John, I can't help but think about the fact that as they stared out the window of their house, up and down the street, just like you and I today would have a Kentucky Wildcat flag, up and down the street of where they were living, up and down the street of where they were sitting, up and down the street as they made their meals that evening and sat down from the whole time from lunchtime until that night, they witnessed this on the doorposts. And I want you to understand, and I want you to know something tonight, and where I think God wants us to go tonight and where God wants us to take us is I believe that the Israelites, they sat there in their homes that night knowing what God had promised. They sat there as they sat down to eat together. In fact, the Bible says if one family was too poor to afford a sacrificial animal, guess what was supposed to happen? Their neighbor was supposed to invite them in so that no one was left out in the cold when it came time for the death angel to come by. God instructed them very carefully, you ready for this? To take care of their neighbors, amen? That's consistent with God's word all throughout Scripture. So some of these homes had just immediate family members. Some of these homes had next door neighbors that they knew did not have the money to pay for that sacrificial animal. But I'm telling you that they sat down in their homes that night knowing what God had promised, and they were waiting for his promise to come to pass. How many times have we sat at dinner table with family? How many times have we sat at a dinner table with a friend who's going through something? Who's going through a cancer treatment or a bout of diabetes, who's going through some kind of depression or anxiety. How many times have we sat down at the dinner table waiting on God's promise to come to pass? I can't imagine how nervous they were. I can't imagine as they looked at the blood, because I'm telling you, when God gave it to Moses and God said, hey, I want you and Aaron both, I want y'all to go. And I want you to take this out. I want you to go and to tell everybody. And I want you to make sure that they know what is going to happen and why it's going to happen. I can't imagine how nervous they were. Listen, all these people, their whole generation, all they knew was being slaves. They didn't know anything else. Their whole lives, and not only their lives, but their father's lives and their grandfather's lives and their great-grandfather's lives, all they had ever known was working on the streets for the Egyptians. All they had ever known was building these lavish palaces that they never even got to use. Only the Egyptians could use it. So all that they knew was being slaves. And I can't imagine the butterflies that were in their stomach as they sat down at their dinner table that night and they picked up, if they used a fork or spoon, whatever they used at the time, I can't imagine as they picked up that spoon and began to move that sacrifice into their mouth to take a bite. And as they looked out their window, seeing the blood of their next door neighbor dripping off of the doorpost. And I can't imagine inside of themselves what they were thinking. I need you to understand tonight that it was something special going on in that area that night. The blood was serving as a reminder of a few things. I want you first to understand tonight that when they looked out their window and when they saw the blood on the doorpost of their neighbors, it was a reminder of obedience. They knew that their obedience was about to bring them out of their sorrow. I want to read really quickly to you Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 5. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel, they must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. This is right there, heading, getting ready for dinner time. And they're about to take some of the blood and to smear it on the sides and on the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. And that same night, they must roast the meat over a fire, and they must eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread. I don't even like salad greens, much less do I want bitter salad greens, right? They must eat it with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw. Do not eat any of the meat boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, the legs, the internal organs, it must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten. These are your instructions for eating the meal. So not only did God instruct them on how to cook the meal, now he said, this is how you eat the meal. I don't know if you guys have a dress code for your family dining table. I have two brothers. They're younger than me. Growing up, as young boys do, as teenagers do, my brothers and I, we would just come to the table with no shirt on. And my parents got absolutely irate, and they would tell us every night, do not come to this table with no shirt on. Do not come to this table with no shirt on. But you know, teenage boys, every night we would come with no shirt on. Until finally we went to the table one night with no shirt on, and then here came my dad in there with no shirt on, and really quickly we changed our tune, right? And if you know my dad, I'm telling you, my dad's like a dude that you don't want to see with his shirt off. So as soon as my dad walked into the room, we made sure to put our shirts back on because that was now our family dress code. I want you to see, God not only told them how to cook the meat, but he said, I give you a dress code for when you eat it. He said, I want you to be fully dressed. Now, this may seem silly, right? I want you to be fully dressed. I want you to wear your sandals. And I love the last part. I want you to carry your walking stick with you. God knew something, didn't he? God knew as soon as this was about to occur and as soon as this was occurring that these people were going to be getting out of Dodge. They were going to be rolling and they were going to be moving, and God wanted them to be prepared. Look what he says. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. I can't imagine guys sitting there at the table and thinking about all these instructions, all of the things they had to remember. It had to be a male, 1 year old, either a sheep or a goat, no defects. You got to take care of the animal for 4 days, and then you have to slaughter the lamb at twilight. I would have been asking my family, what is twilight? Am I too early? Am I too late? Somebody please tell me when twilight is, right? Then I'm going to take the blood, and all these instructions and all of these things for them to follow, and then to sit down and say, all right, we got to be dressed, we got to have our sandals on, we got to carry a walking stick, and we got to eat quickly. See, I want you to know something and understand something tonight. Obedience will trump ability every single time. There's so many young people that tell me, Pastor, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for the ministry. I'm not ready. I don't feel like I'm ready. I don't feel like I'm ready to serve. I don't feel like I'm ready, and I know enough about God's word to lead someone to Christ. And you may feel like that tonight. Maybe there's a coworker that you've been wanting to lead to the Lord, and you say, Rick, there's no way. I'm not prepared. I don't know the word like I should. Listen, if God tells you to speak, then you speak. He will fill your mouth with the words. If God's telling you to serve in this church, you get with your pastor and you serve in this church, because obedience will trump ability every single time. Amen? I think about Blake over there. I invited him when the flood was happening in Houston, and he came down to our church, and we needed a drummer. And wouldn't you know, Blake was a drummer. At the time, we had electric drums. And Blade will love this. We had electric drums at the time. And Blake was sitting there playing these electric drums, speaking of ability, right, and obedience. And right in the middle of the worship set, Blake knocks every single drum set over, everything, all the cymbals, all of the drums laying right there in the church floor. But it didn't matter. He wasn't embarrassed. He picked them up and moved on. Why? Because obedience will always trump your ability. Maybe you're not a very good singer. Maybe you're not a very talented musician. Maybe you're not very good working with kids. But man, if God is telling you to do something, then be obedient to him. Because the thing is, it may seem unnecessary. It may seem trivial. It may seem like a waste of time. But obedience to the Lord will get us out of some painful situations. Why in the world did it matter if they wore sandals to dinner? Why did it matter if they were fully dressed? Why did it matter if they had their walking stick? It mattered because God told them to do that. And I'm telling you, some of us are in some painful situations in our families, but it's because we're not being obedient to what God tells us to do. Back in, and we would rather be their friend than to corral them back in, and we wonder then why everything has gone haywire and not serving the Lord or whatever. Well, it's because we're not obedient when God tells us to do something. And by the way, God does not say that our parental duties end when our children turn 18. Or our grandparent duties. We want to know why this world is in such of a mess. It's because we're just letting our kids do whatever they want to do. And God has been very careful in instructing us in what to do. How many times have we made our life so much more difficult by not obeying the Father? Seriously. My young adults in the house, how many times did God tell you, don't go out with that person? Don't get mixed up with that young lady. Don't get mixed up with that young man. But we start thinking in our mind that we know better than God. And so what do? We go. And listen, I'm guilty. Before God sent my wife along, before God sent me the amazing woman that he did, I was guilty of not listening to God when he told me to stay away from a particular young lady, right? But I did what I thought was, and so what happened? I wound up with a painful heart, and I wound up with stuff in my life all messed up, and I wound up with problems in my life. Why? Because I didn't obey what God was telling me to do. Same thing now that I'm pastoring. God tells me sometimes, hey, you need to do that. And if I balk, John, I'm sorry, Pastor John, if maybe you're just a lot better of a pastor than I am, right? But sometimes I'm just like, hey, God, I don't know that I can step in that direction yet. I just don't know if I can do that. God, is the finances going to be there? God, I just don't know if my church people are ready yet to move into that direction. And God keeps telling me, Rick, I've told you to move. And obedience every time will beat ability. Obedience every time will beat anything else in the world. As long as we're obedient to God, amen, he's going to lead us and guide us and direct us. And I can imagine those guys sitting there eating dinner that night and looking at the blood that was on the doorpost and thinking, we have to be obedient to the Lord because our freedom is coming. The second thing that I believe, as they looked upon the doorpost, looking out of their windows from their dinner table as they ate the sacrificial lamb, as they looked upon the doorpost and saw the blood, I believe that it reminded them of God's protection. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 22. Drain the blood into a basin, and then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and the sides of the door frames of your houses, and no one may go out through the door until the morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, then the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house, and he will not permit the death angel to strike you down. Listen, I believe in the protection of the Lord. I believe he protects my family. I believe that he protects me. I believe that he protects my vehicle, that he goes before me and he goes behind me. I believe that when I step left, he's on the left, and when I step right, he's on the right. I believe in the protection of the Lord. I believe that as these children of Israel sat in their kitchens that night eating their meal, that when they looked out the window, they knew God was going to do what he told them that he was going to do. They knew that he was going to protect them. They knew that no way, shape, or form would that death angel be allowed into their homes. And I want to encourage you tonight and encourage some folks in the room. Believe in the protection of the Lord tonight. Believe in the protection of the Lord. We cannot live our lives in fear. Come on, somebody tonight, amen. We cannot. This is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. The enemy wants us to live a life in fear. Why? Because if we have a life of fear, then we're not out in the community. And if we're not out in the community, then we're not witnessing the word of God. If we're not out in the community, we're not setting an example in the community. If we're not reaching out to the other side of the tracks, then we're not setting a good example, right? If we're not reaching out to other ethnicities than ours, then we're not being the hands and feet of Jesus. If other ethnicities are not reaching out this way, then we're not being the hands and the feet of Jesus. But what the enemy has done is he's used violence, he's used racism, he's used politics, come on somebody, to cause division in our country. And because of the division in our country, his plan is working perfectly. Why? Because Democrats cannot witness to Republicans. Republicans cannot witness to Democrats. It's getting to the point where white folks can't witness to Hispanics, and Hispanics can't witness to Asians, and Asians can't witness to African Americans. You say, Pastor, you have just gone off the rail tonight. You're going crazy. Absolutely not. This is what the enemy has planted in our minds. This is what's going on in our country today. He's trying to cause division. Why? Because if he can divide us as a nation, then we absolutely will fall. If he can divide us as a church, we absolutely can fall. Amen? And so I want you to know tonight about God's protection. When you look at the blood on this door frame behind me, know that God is going to protect you and protect your family. That God is going to send his angels and his hedge of protection, as he told Job, around and about you. The third thing, I believe that when those Israelites looked out of their homes, they saw freedom. 430 years of slavery, 430 years of building roads and fancy places for the Egyptians to party in. But then the angel of death came to the area. The word of God says that the angel of death came through and went through the homes there, and everyone that did not have blood over the doorposts, that the firstborn was killed there in those homes. And in fact, scripture tells us that even the firstborn animals were taken that night. God is not a God of coincidence. And so the scripture says that all of the Egyptians woke up at the same time. The word of God says that the shrieking that came out of the Egyptians was piercing. If you read this whole chapter here, you'll read it. When those Egyptians woke up and realized and understood and saw that their firstborn had been killed, they shrieked. And Exodus chapter 12 and verse 31 says this: Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. Get out. I mean, wouldn't you have liked to have been in the room for that meeting? He calls them in the middle of the night, just saw his family members killed, just saw people all up and down the area, all up and down the streets as they were reporting in, hey, we've had a death in our house. We've had a death in our house. Who died? My firstborn son. No way, my firstborn died. And then reports kept rolling in. And he says, you get those Israelites. I want Moses and I want Aaron and I want them here now. They bring them into the room. I'm sure Moses and Aaron were, they weren't rubbing their eyes. They knew what was about to happen. They were up and ready to roll. And Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron, and he said, get out, leave my people, and take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go and worship your Lord as you have requested, but don't stay here any longer. See, I want you to understand and know something, that this blood and the blood that we see on the door tonight, what it signified in the lives of the Israelites and what it signifies tonight is freedom. Too many of us have been enslaved by sin and enslaved by things of the enemy. Too many of us don't have our full freedom in God because we're being chained to things of our past. But I want you to see the blood on this door tonight. And I want you to understand that that blood represents your freedom. And just as Pharaoh told them to get out, amen, if we mess with the devil long enough, what does the word of God say? He will flee, amen. He will turn and he will flee. When you're fleeing something, you're not just walking away, but you're running and you're trying to get out of there as fast as you can. So when you look at the blood on this door, I want you tonight to see freedom. And maybe it's not for you tonight, but maybe it's for one of your loved ones. If somebody is bound tonight to sin, if someone's bound tonight to alcohol, someone's bound tonight to drugs, someone's bound tonight to pornography, someone's bound tonight to fornication and sexual desires, I'm telling you tonight, there's freedom in the house of the Lord. Amen. This blood provided freedom for the children of Israel, and it still provides freedom in 2019 in the name of Jesus. Whatever you may have that you need freedom from tonight, amen, it is in this house tonight. Pharaoh said, get out of here and take the rest of them with you. And just like that, why? Because they were obedient. Because they were obedient, 430 years of slavery ended just like that. And the freedom that they longed for, the freedom that they strived for, it was finally given to them. And the fourth and final thing tonight that I believe that this blood represented, I believe that as those Israelites sat there eating their meal that night, as they peered out the window and saw the blood on the doorpost of all of their neighbors, they saw victory. Victory over slavery, victory over oppression, victory over a terrible life, victory over all kinds of things that had been bothering them, victory and wanting to get out from under the rule of the Egyptians. I want you to see what Exodus 12 and 35 says. And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. And they asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. And check this out. The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites. And they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. Can I tell you something tonight? God's not only ready to set you free tonight, but he's ready to make Satan pay for it, amen? He's not only ready to set you free from whatever's happening in your life or in your family, in your workplace, but he's ready to make Satan be the one holding the bill. Did you ever see what Exodus 12 and 51 said? On that very day, what happened? The Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt like an army. They didn't walk out of that place scared. They walked out of that place with a purpose. They didn't walk out of that place that night looking over their shoulder. Now listen, they were in a hurry. Why? Because God told them to be. They were already dressed. They had their shoes on. They had their walking stick. And as soon as Moses and Aaron ran out from Pharaoh's office, I'm pretty sure they were running down the street like Paul Revere saying, let's go, everybody out of here, right? Let's go now. And they marched out of that place, not in fear, but they marched out of that place victorious. And in fact, God's word says they marched out of that place with their hand open and receiving the gold and the silver from their enemies on the way out of there. So I'm trying to tell you something tonight, that not only is God going to set you free, but God is going to make Satan pay for it. Not only is God going to cause you to walk out of your situation, but you're going to walk out of there like an army, brave and strong and true. And I want you to know tonight that we are not a weak church, but we are one in Madisonville, Kentucky, that knows that the blood of Jesus still works, amen? Just like it worked that night for the children of Israel, it still works for us tonight in Jesus' name. Just as the blood served as protection and freedom and victory for the children of Israel, so it still serves the same purposes for you and for me today. It's not the blood of a sacrificed animal on a doorpost that I'm talking about, but it's the blood that was shed for you and for me by a man named Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. I believe the Lord sent me all the way here from Houston, Texas tonight to remind you that the blood still prevails. I want you to know something tonight, church. The blood still heals, amen? I need you to know tonight that the blood still protects, amen? The blood still provides tonight. It still sets the captives free. There is still power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. The curse had come over the whole land. Now, that's what I want you to understand and see as I start winding down and the praise team gets ready to come back and lead us into an interesting altar call tonight. Amen. We're going to do something a little bit different tonight. But what I need you to understand and what I need you to see tonight is the curse was on the whole land. The Israelites were not exempt from the curse. You got to understand that for just a minute. Because there was a precursor and there was a reason that the death angel did not go into their homes. Meaning that it was a possibility, Pastor. So they just because they were children of God, that did not mean they were exempt from what was taking place in this area. But the reason that they were exempt and the reason that they found the victory was because the blood was present on the doorpost. When the blood is present over the doorpost, then the curse was overpowered. Come on now, you got to hear that. That means that we may all still be subject to the curse in this life called sin. But hallelujah, when we apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our lives, then we overcome this sin thing. It's kind of like Sir Isaac Newton for my science people in here. Any science nerds in here? Anybody like science? Sir Isaac Newton talked about this law called gravity, right? He said if you drop an apple from, I wish I had an apple or something up here to drop. But here's a box of pens. If you drop a box of pens, right, you can do it 100 times out of 100. And the box, the law of gravity, says the box is going to fall every single time. But then there was another law that came along called the law of physics. I began to think about these airplanes in the sky. Now, they're still subject to gravity. Right? Airplanes are still subject. They're not exempt from the law of gravity. But there's a greater law that's applied to airplanes called physics. Meaning if you have enough speed and you have enough lift, that airplane's going to get off the ground. That doesn't mean gravity necessarily is defeated. It just means that the law of physics outweighs the law of gravity. That's what Jesus did for you and me. Sin is still there. And in our carnal man, we still want to sin. You say, nah, that's not really scriptural. It absolutely is. Have you ever read where Paul said that I try to do what's right? I try with everything in me to do what's right, but I still want to do what's wrong? So we have this sin thing going on inside of us, right? But what I want you to know tonight is just like the law of physics is greater than the law of gravity, the law of salvation is greater than the law of sin. That means when Jesus Christ came and he died for you and me on a cross, that he didn't make us exempt from this sin thing, but that just means that he overrode this law of sin in Jesus' name, amen? So even though the curse had come over the whole land, no one in this area was exempt. As long as the blood was present, the curse was overpowered. Please hear me tonight. As long as the blood was applied, there was freedom for that home. It's interesting to me. It's interesting to me that God did not instruct each individual person, Pastor, to wear a scarlet letter, so to speak. God didn't say, hey, I want everybody to tie a red ribbon around your pinky finger and that way I'll know who belongs to me. But instead, he chose to let the house, come on now, you know where we're heading. He chose to let the leader of the house be the representative for everyone else inside those four walls. And as long as the blood was applied, they didn't go in and check each individual person, but as long as the blood was applied to the doorpost of the home, that home was safe and everyone within that home was safe. Now, had somebody in that home walked out into the street, it would have been fair game. But because the blood was applied, there was freedom for that house. There was victory for that house. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. I believe that God sent me with this message specifically tonight. I don't know why. But somebody in this room tonight, you need to plead the blood back over your house in Jesus' name. I feel so strongly the Lord telling me that in my spirit tonight. That there's some folks here tonight that need to plead the blood back over some situations that are occurring in their life and in their family. Maybe you've been stressing over a situation in your house. Listen to me tonight. Plead the blood over it. Maybe you've been stressing about your children and what's going on in the lives of some of your children or grandchildren. Come on, somebody. Plead the blood over it tonight. Maybe you got a health report that's not on par with what you would like your health report to be. Plead the blood over it tonight. Maybe you have more month than money and you don't even know how you're going to pay your bills. Plead the blood over it in Jesus' name. Plead the blood over it. Because everywhere the blood is applied, there's victory. Everywhere the blood is applied, there's salvation. Maybe you have some loved ones that need the Lord tonight. Plead the blood over them. Here's one last thought I want to give you before we enter into our time of prayer tonight. I believe that the placement of the blood was important as well. There's one area, Chase, there's one area of this whole door frame that God did not instruct them to place the blood. And that's the bottom. He tells them, you can go back later. You can go back and read it in scripture if you want later. But he tells them, I want it on the sides. I want it at the top. But he leaves the bottom out of it. I began to wonder and I began to think why. And then I realized the blood was not to be put on the threshold of the door to the home, because God never wants the blood of his son to be trampled on. Had the blood been on the bottom of the door as they ran out of there to their freedom, they'd have trampled straight over the blood. So tonight I want to encourage you, don't trample on the blood by rejecting Jesus. Don't trample on the blood of the Lamb by staying in the current situation that you're in. Don't trample over the blood of the Lamb by remaining in a sinful life. But tonight, find your peace. Find your freedom. Find your victory. Find your protection. Because the blood still works. So here's what I want to do tonight is, as Stormy just continues to play, please. I'm going to bring this door frame down here. We'll just set it. I can help you guys. We'll just set it right here. Thank you, Pastor. I want us just to take a minute or two, if you will, and just stand all across the room. Tonight, I believe the Lord has instructed me to have us to put some things under the blood. And what I want you to do tonight, we have a whole pack of Sharpie pens. I'll pour them out right here on the altar, on the communion table. I don't want you to rush. I don't want you to get in a hurry. We got plenty of time. Got tons of time. But only you tonight know what you need to put under the blood. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe there's really something that's been eating at your heart or your family, something you've really been fighting. Something you need victory from, something you need freedom from, something you need protection from. I'll invite you tonight. As long as it takes, as many things and as many names. I would love for you to put it under the blood tonight. What we're going to do before we leave here, I want you to notice the children of Israel, they didn't go out one at a time. They went out like an army, meaning they went out together. And tonight, we're going to plead the blood over some things together. We're going to pray over this door and whatever we write on this door together. Praying that God brings some freedom to some situations. Come on, will you just bow your head with me? Bow your hearts. Father, I need you to speak into this room, God. Because quite honestly and quite frankly and quite openly, God, this whole sermon tonight was obedience. And obedience always trumps ability. So, Father, in being obedient into what you wanted me to bring into this place tonight, I know that you're ready. You're ready to set somebody free. So tonight, as we come as a family, putting these things, these issues, these people under the blood, I pray, God, just as you did for Moses and Aaron, do it again. Do it right here on August the 9th of 2019, because the blood still works. And as we prepare our hearts, God, bring these needs to you. The word you gave me today, healing, healing, may it begin in this place in Jesus' name. Body, I'll just ask you, take as much time or as little time as you need. What do you want to put under the blood tonight? Let's just stay in an attitude as we begin to write on this door. What do you want to bring to the Lord tonight in Jesus' name?
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.